You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know.
Hey Stars fan, this is Alex Ranger, and you're listening to A View from Section C.
A View from Section C is sponsored by Don Michele, Italian restaurant, Perth Road, Dundee.
Hello and welcome along to The Ton, everyone. It is episode 100 of the Don Michele sponsored A View from Section C. Senior, we've got it. We're here. We've made it.
We've made it. We never thought, 100 episodes, started during COVID. It was just me and you sort of having a wee blether about, fancy doing a wee podcast about the Stars during COVID, and we'll see what happens. And 100 episodes later, and came up, thoroughly enjoyed it, And as you say, I've listened back to like the first episodes, and I was like reading it from a sheet of paper and to where we are now. But I just let you take control now, and I just chirp in every so often. But
I might have to go back to your little intro for the start of this week's show of on this week's show we have such and such. And we have our game review. And we have this. And it's with the two Laurie's.
The more you do, the sort of more relaxed you get. And like we've always mentioned it, but we got a bit of help for the guys at the Dode Fox podcast. And they said that they were quite similar to that as well. That when they first started it, they were quite scripted. And then it begins at, you didn't really need a script. It just goes with the flow. But great, 100 episodes. Really looking forward to this one. We've got a guest on, and I'll leave it to you.
We do have a guest on. I did give a little tease away last week about someone that's played for the club. They've won a trophy with the club. And we've actually already had a little conversation with our guest beforehand. It does go a bit unnoticed at times as the years go on. It was the 2013-2014 season when we won the Gardner Conference Trophy and finished third in the league that season. It is actually 10 years this year since we won that conference, 2014 to 2024. But introducing this man, 10 years in the Elite League, playing over 450 games. Of those 450 games, 194 games of those were for the Stars. 129 points, being the Stars' third all-time in Elite League point scoring and eighth in all-time in Stars history, only behind a select few of guys like John Dolan, Dryden Dow, Tony Hand. But, you know, I could not have thought of anybody better to get on the show. We're going to touch on that little dark side of his career when he maybe went to across the water, but we've always forgiven him for it. It is none other than former player and head coach of the Dundee Stars. It is Mr. Jeff Hutchins. Hutchie, welcome along to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you, Jeff.
Just in
and
there.
You, that's and you. Long time.
That is. It's not until we really look at it, Jeff, that you look at points and the games played and stuff like that, that you don't realise actually kind of how prominent you were in that Stars team over the years you're with us. You say third all time in the IHL scoring for the Stars. Again, we said it about the Gardner Conference Trophy. Again, I think it goes a bit unnoticed when you become a player coach, so to say. You know, that first season, you were just a player with us, and then you went into the player coach role. So I think it does go a bit unnoticed as well when you do become a coach. your point production?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly, you know, your focus, you know, certainly gets pulled in different directions around trying to organize other people, and you know, it becomes very difficult to start, you know, concentrating on your own game and the production. And then, you know, certainly the production in the years where I was a coach took a backseat to kind of to trying to produce overall success for the club. Mm-hmm. I always recruited my teams, and whether we had success or not, when I was a player coach, to be the worst import on the team.
Yeah.
not in a bad way, but just, you know, I've been in other situations where we've had player coaches and they've, you know, necessarily put themselves in a position to succeed individually, but, you know, mm-hmm. at the detriment of, you know, the other imports and the other guys that have been brought in to produce. So, yeah. From day one, I set out that I would never be in that position, and I think I lived up to that for the 3 years I was player coach.
Yeah, no, definitely. But as you say, next year is going to be 20 years since you first come to the UK. Does it feel like it?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel. I'm not regretting any of my time here or living here. But sometimes you look back and you go, that went fast. That was quick. And I think with the Rockets now, I'm starting to see kids that I used to coach as, you know, under 10s. And now they're full-fledged adults. And, you know, you're like, oof. I feel old, although I don't feel old, but yeah, it is surreal.
Yeah, we'll come on to the Rockets in a bit, but just when you mentioned that, obviously, guys like Robbie Hill, Lewis McIntosh, that conference winning season, young kids coming up and coming through the Stars, junior development, the Comets at the time. Now, you know, some of them own businesses, big boy job sort of thing, married, kids, that sort of stuff. Must be a bit, you know, feel that a bit older.
Well, even you were, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. A teenager then? Yeah.
What would I have been? What's that? 2013?
It's 13.
I'm trying to think of it. So 20,
22, 23.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so young. Not quite a teenager, but yeah.
I'll still classify myself, John. I'm only 33.
I'm just not going to get into the discussion about age. I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah. Nice. Nicely played.
But yeah, so 20 years since you come over here, obviously you started with the Blaze. Just how different is the Elite League, you know, from what? Obviously, you kind of probably still follow the league in that a lot, but here and there, you'll watch out for some results for the teams you've been with. Just how different and how far has the league come since that first time you came in with Coventry to even just when you left Fife and now?
Well, I think the talent level and the pace and speed of the game is way faster than it was when I came in. I just think hockey in general is a faster game than it was 20 years ago. I think, you know, if you look at the kids coming up now, the kids have individual skills coaches that are coaching them from when they're, you know, just turning teenagers all the way up to, you know, the NHL players still have skill coaches in the summer that teach them, you know, how to improve their individual games. So the level has gone up immensely. Obviously, you know, it's quite a contentious thing around the import levels, but the import levels are at the highest they've ever been. And, you know, some really good players that are coming over. You know, and I think it's a different game than it was. It's all about, you know, speed and skill rather than, you know, some of the older style where it was more about, you know, leaning on players and physicality. It's just not that way anymore. Love it or hate it, it's, you know, it is faster and better, I think, anyways.
Yeah. I would agree with you, Jeff. I think when you look at some of the guys that played sort of back when you first came over, you're right. It was the sort of the real sort of heavy hitting type of game. It was what people would class as a North American game. Big bodies hit the body all the time. Where now it is a lot more skilled now. And no disrespect to yourself and the guys that played back then. I think the league's probably more professional now than what it has been. Like yourself, it's contentious about the import levels. Does it make the league better? Does it not make the league better? Is always an argument that will be there, regardless of how many imports come here. But I would certainly agree that even like the likes of Stars and Fife, these teams really can't afford to really have an out-and-out enforcer. And now when you look at the Elite League, do you really need that enforcer person? For example, like a Sean McMorrow type of person, do teams need that now? Or do they just need this sort of... If something happens, each player could probably begin to look after themselves, you know? So, yeah. And there's always going to be big hits. There's always going to be fights. I just think there's less and less of that now than what there would be. If you go on YouTube and you sort of put in Jeff Hutchins, you'll see fights.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think if you look back at the, you know, the enforcer, the guys that have generally been, you know, there for one reason. You know, if you look at, say, Fife back in the day when we were kind of battling against and they were just coming in to the league, you know, they had one of the toughest guys in the league, but they were in dead last. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think if you look at the evolution of that, I think if you want to change momentum of games now, it's more about just, you know, more mm-hmm. physicality, being fast, getting in on the puck, and, you know, winning stick battles rather than someone dropping the gloves and, you know, being a 30-second boost of energy. I think it's just the pace at what the game's being played at right now. That's what changes the momentum and fortunes of teams within a game.
Mm-hmm. And Senior, you said there that if teams need the likes of Sean McMorrow's, I don't think any team really needed Sean McMorrow in their lineup at all. Nice guy, great for the community, but bums on seats, but absolutely no team needs him.
what Jeff was saying. Like when we Fife, it was probably like Nickerson at this point, and they finished dead last. We brought in Sean McMorrow. And what happens? We were sitting dead last, and after so many games, he was let go. The arena teams could maybe afford to carry a person like that, but clubs like Dundee, Fife, it just doesn't work.
No,
the best guy that I played with and obviously coached was that Dozak. I mean, he kind of did it all for me. He was solid. You know, really never got caught out, you know, from a defensive perspective, but would stand up to the toughest of the toughest.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was great for us that season. And I really think that our, you know, us not getting over the hurdle to get down to the playoffs was because he got injured and he just was a nasty player to play against. But not dirty, you know?
Tough as nails.
Yeah.
Tough as nails. We were on the 3-on-3 podcast the other night, and we were doing like our kind of Stars Hall of Fame in the league era, and Tyson was one name that was coming up in my head for our defensive partners. I think it was a broken foot, wasn't it, or a foot injury that curtailed his season.
Slapshot,
But
and he did a lot for our Brits that year as well, for Sam and for Paul Swindlehurst.
Yeah.
He was just really good. So he was the complete package. It's a shame that he didn't want to play another year.
I think I think the majority of the fan base would have taken him back in a heartbeat.
Sure.
He was a big
crowd pleaser. And as you say, it was for that no nonsense, take on whoever he wants to, good solid D man. Which again, you don't really find a lot of nowadays, because they all want to see me jump forward. But obviously you played yourself, played for a number of EHL teams, Newcastle, Sheffield, Coventry, where you started, and obviously without forgetting the Caps as well. But how did your move to Dundee come about? What was it? Because obviously it was the Stars' second season in the Elite League. Our first season was very poor, without being too harsh on the guys that were there, but it was a very, very tough season in the very first Elite League season. So how did it come about, and what actually drew you towards Dundee for that second year?
Well, I mean, your season was a poor one, but if you recall the season before, I was with the Caps, and we had some terrible weather, I think, and basically that was the downfall of guys just leaving. We missed a couple games, we missed a couple paychecks, and guys just started taking off. And obviously Martin Single and myself were locals, so we weren't going anywhere. So I think by the end of the year we'd lost 30 in a row or something like that. Despite that, I ended up getting called up to the GB team. Yep. And I was roommates with Brett Hughes, and he was just like, "What are you doing next year?" And I said, I haven't spoke to Edinburgh. And he said, "Well, why don't you come to Dundee?" And then I think that was really how it went. He put me in touch with Dan, and a couple weeks later I was signed and playing for the Stars. So
yeah,
quite simple, quite straightforward. My first year, the Wards did a really good job at bringing everyone in and making them feel welcome, and didn't want for anything really, to be honest. That first year there was no issues. Like to get better results, but we clawed back and we made the playoffs, which was from being, forget me, we were 9 points out or something at one stage, and we came back and made it. So yeah, that's how it came about, and enjoyed my first year there.
Yeah, I think that's one guy we might have forgotten about in that Hall of Fame for at the weekend was Brent Hughes. He was a player, and for lack of a better term, tough son of a bitch on the ice as well.
Yeah, Brent was quite feisty. I always remember hearing stories about Brent, Jeff, and it was sort of when you see the way he played, he had that red face. He was just like an angry man every time. And the story went, if we lost on a Sunday, it took him to Tuesday back on the ice, or back at training, whether it was in the gym or whatever, to get him back down to a normal level of living again, because he took it that bad. And I think that was one of the Wards that told me that story. He was an angry man when we lost.
Yeah. No, sure. I mean, there'd be times in the game where we'd go down or a goal or two, and you try to say something to him, and he just wouldn't respond to you. So I just like, all right, we'll leave him alone. We'll leave him alone. He'd be fine.
But so obviously we spoke about your points production, and I'm not too sure if you're aware of this stat, Jeff. You might be aware of this stat, but you are actually the all-time penalty minute taker in Stars history in those 194 games, with 507 penalty minutes. Now, I'm sure there's going to be a few misconducts in there for some of the officials, and a few fights. Were you aware of that stat?
No, I wasn't. But I knew I had a lot of penalties because, every time Toby, for instance, would referee a game. Without going too much into detail, but he holds grudges and you know, how he would get back to you. That's how I felt anyways. Maybe it's not the case, but is that he just let other players abuse you, you know, and then as soon as you defend yourself, it was, you know, here's a whistle for you. There's a penalty for you. When I left the game and I got into coaching, and some guys like Chase Shaver, for instance, was a guy in Fife, Toby would always get into arguments, and I'd be like, you're not doing yourself any favor. He holds grudges. Once you tell him to go off somewhere, that's you done for the game, you know, and it happened a lot. And I did take a lot of probably misconducts.
Because thinking back, right, and it's 507 minutes and 194 games, I really can't remember a massive amount of fights. You know, you would think normally it would be 2 + 5 + 10 or 5 + something or lots of fighting majors. I really can't remember you really fighting a lot in a Dundee jersey. I remember you really fighting once against Sam Zajac. I think it was when Sam played for Newcastle at the time. One of them anyway.
I think it may be in Glasgow. Was it Glasgow?
I remember that one. That one stuck out for me.
Yeah, that might be my all-time favourite fight, by the way, at DIA.
He's a tough little bugger.
Once you got swinging, swinging him around by the jersey and throwing punches, he had nothing left. It generally is my all-time favourite fight.
Yeah,
my favourite was...
That's the one that sits with me. But for all those penalties, to me, I didn't think there was a lot of fighting majors. There must have been a lot of misconducts in there.
Probably. My favorite was against the guy from Belfast. Forget his name. He was they call him the little rat. Keith would protect him. I forget his name.
Daryl Lloyd?
Daryl Lloyd.
Daryl Lloyd, yeah.
Yeah, I caught him in the playoffs, the second leg at home, off the draw. That was a good one. Yeah, but no, you're right. I can't remember maybe having over 10, 11 fights maybe.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot. Yeah, I do specifically remember one of your misconduct penalties. It was from the bench, Edinburgh. When the bench was on the other side and we had the white towel waving from the stick. I'm pretty sure it was at Pavel in that one. Just a lot of things that stick out at you. Because I'm sure there was a few guys on the bench that day weren't happy. That's one of your stats that, again, might be a good one that goes unrecognised.
That's true.
But four seasons with the Stars. So, just your second season was when you became player coach, and you were in that position for 3 seasons. How did the coaching gig came about? Obviously, we knew that was the season that Brent's dad unfortunately passed away. Brent then went back home, so we're looking for a new coach. But how did it come about with yourself? Was it always something that you wanted to move into? Do you think it was maybe a bit too early for yourself, or do you think this is the time that I want to go into coaching?
I think the year before, the year before I came to the Stars in Edinburgh, Doug Christensen had just, I played for him and then he'd left. And I was like, well, I quite fancy the job there. In Edinburgh, where I live, and Scott was, I think Scott had in his mind that he wanted a bench coach or someone else, and kind of passed on my offer of doing it. Mm-hmm. So then I just continued on my playing career, and then Hughesy wasn't really sure whether he was going to come back in the summer after, you know, obviously his dad passing away. And then he just called me one day and said, I'm not coming back. but he, you know, I didn't hear anything for another couple of weeks. And then Mike Ward called me and said, what, you know, are you all ready for the season? Yeah, I'm all ready. And he said, do you want the coaching job? And I think at that time I was just really naive and said, yeah, sure, I'll take it. And not really, you know, not really understanding what, you know, what it is to take on that responsibility. And, you know, again, I think just to kind of reiterate, the game has changed since when I took the job to what the expectation is for a coach now, you know, and what the players that come over here now, their expectations for the setup and the systems and the coaching that they would receive over here is tenfold. But yeah, no, it was, it happened quite quickly. I think I always had a, you know, I enjoyed the recruitment part of things, you know, and trying to bring the best players. The coaching part, obviously, you know, being a young playing coach, comes with its massive challenges. It's hard to coach people when you're kind of making same mistakes, and it just becomes difficult.
Yeah.
And I just don't see how you could ever go back to a playing coach situation in this league. It just would damage the league, I think.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it nonetheless. One thing I learned a lot.
One
of the notes that I took before we came on air was, when you got the role and you've touched on it yourself, you enjoyed the recruitment. How does a coach go about the recruitment process, you know? And especially like yourself, Jeff, when it was probably your first sort of coaching gig, it was a player coach. How does the recruitment start? And have you got something at the back of your mind how you want your teams to play? And then it's a case of then trying to put sort of all the pieces into that puzzle.
To be quite honest, and you know, working as an assistant coach in Fife for 7 odd years, we, as the lower teams, we don't have access to the premier players at the beginning of the summer. And that's quite the reality of it, is that, you know, players are smart. They look at the table and they go, oh, I don't want to be involved in a lower place team. And everyone has aspirations to sit at the top. And so a lot of the recruitment is dictated by, you know, the time of year and you know, what players are available. You know, I'm a firm believer in, you have to try to get the best players for the best value for the budget that you have. So there's not, for me, there's no in particular order you go about doing it. It's just about what's available at the time. You know, certainly players have different mindsets and they go through a roller coaster of what they want throughout the summer. So, you know, for me, it was my specific recruitment process was, you know, you'd like to get people that work in Paris, you know, where two people are connected and you can add a third element on. And for me, it was, you know, some skilled players with a guy that, you know, did some of the dirty work and got into the corners and retrieved pucks. And that for me was for the best part, was the way that I went about it. Obviously, the dynamic has changed over the years. So my first year in Dundee as player coach, you have to kind of pair that up with the British players you have and what what positions they play and then fill in the gaps. So there were some complexities about it, but again, it was about trying to get enough players for the beginning of the season, to be fair.
Yeah.
It was always a struggle. So yeah.
We'll touch on more about Fife in a bit as well, but obviously when you say that about making sure you had players before the start of the season, it always seems to be Fife's problem at the start of a season was there was never enough guys at the start of the season. Is it purely down to that of it's who's available at that time with players going to the bigger clubs?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I mean, there's tons of players available. Like, let's not kid ourselves. There's tons of players available, but you know, you again, it's like anything, you're trying to get the best player available for the money that you have and not overpay players that maybe are fringe players. So yeah, it's a little bit of a gambling process where you're kind of waiting, you know, one player that you think potentially wanted to go to the DL2, that deal's fallen through for him. Now he becomes number one priority for you. And it's just, it's that constant juggling of this And it, you know, the reality is that we're not the Belfast. We weren't the Belfast Giants. We weren't Nottingham or Sheffield. We don't get pick of the litter. You know, right from the beginning. And a lot of our players come with, they're not perfect players. They come with like something is missing from their game, whether it be personality, whether it be skill level, whether it be physicality. There is something missing in the majority of the players that we get. And that's the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That first year as player coach, we weren't far off a conference win. We were right in it up until near the end. Clan eventually just kind of run away with it. But then next season, second season player coach, we obviously you'd recognise the gaps that we'd had. It's now 10 years to the year since we won the Gardner Conference Trophy. It's the only trophy in Stars Elite League history. So, you know, just want to talk a little bit about that season, the ups. I think, you know, our biggest up in that season was the absolute gem that we found in Dan Bacala. And I know that Senior's going to come at you with a question later on, which you don't know about. He's going to put you on the spot, Jeff. But, you know, guys, that season, that line of Cash, Sacchetti and Paul Strone before Jerry obviously left before the end of the season. Just what a team that was and put together. You know, won the conference. There were some great Brits in there. JD, Barry, Sam was obviously there. We had guys like Rory Rollick, obviously, who was injured towards the end of the season as well. Brought in guys like McClellan for injury cover towards the end, Lubo Vasjevic, Dylan Quayle. Just how much did you enjoy that team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously missing the playoffs the first year as coach, you know, highly motivated me. You know, I was determined. I think I said at the end of the year banquet that, you know, I took that one really hard. You know, to be in a position to win the conference and on the Friday and to be out of it by the Saturday with a game to play on the Sunday for nothing, was painful. And then the way we lost it on the Saturday, you know, a guy trips backwards and gives the leading scorer of the league a breakaway to end our season. It was disappointing. So I put a lot of pressure on myself to put together the best possible team I could for the budget that we had. And no one will ever believe me. We had no player over 500 pounds that season.
Wow.
Which is crazy. It is crazy.
Yeah.
It kind of a lot of things fell in place in the recruitment process there. You know, if you look at the guys that, you know, Jerry and Satch and Dan Bacala, all those guys, you know, were trying to forge their way into professional hockey, and we offered an opportunity for them, and they took it and ran with it, and if you look at where they went after us, it's amazing that they've, you know, went from Dundee to, you know, Swedish Elite League to, you know, the Austrian league. It's crazy, to be fair. But yeah, bunch of guys, all something to prove. You know, highs and lows of the season. You know, Dozak getting hurt. Jack Campbell coming. Jack McClellan coming in to cover for Jerry, who left. You know, to pursue another opportunity. You know, the ups and downs of signing Jack, like literally can. Told me no and convincing him a couple hours before the deadline of not being able to get a player. Mm-hmm. And then him going on to score the clinching goal to get us the conference was crazy.
Yeah. McClellan certainly was one of my favorite players from that season, although it was the latter end of the season. He certainly was one of those kind of impact players that came in. Big ones for me as well was also being able to keep guys like Bagrin and Worrell, which played a big part as well from season before. You know, coming into this one, they knew what they had to do from the disappointing end to the previous season. So coming in to then go and do that, the conference, I'll be ended up losing a fife in the playoffs, which I think was the biggest sting that season. But yeah, it was some team. It was a very special team, I think.
Yeah.
And had everyone stayed fit, who knows what we could have did.
Yeah.
With Worley and Bagron too, and that again, that went into my thinking that we were lucky enough to keep them. You know, if you remember the numbers that Worley and Bags had the year before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Wrightman that year. It was a really big win for us to keep them, not on an inflated salary, like I said, within the confines of what worked for us. They ended up moving down to the second line, which in my head was, you know, we've got first line players that will push down the lineup, you know, to give us more depth, find some British players. And, you know, so if you think about the year that we brought in, Sam McCluskey kind of really flourished that year. Paul Splinterhurst, Barry came in, and, you know, at that time, Barry, you know, had a 40 goal season or a 30 goal season in Edinburgh in the Elite League. So yeah, there was opportunity for him. A lot of things fell into place that year for us.
Yeah. Senior, do you want to ask your question now?
Yes, there is a burning question in Dundee, okay, and people just cannot agree, right? You've probably worked with both these guys, Dan Bacala or Nick Riopel. Who would you go with? Who's the best?
So I would say that they're both good in their own right. I'd say Dan Bacala. I think just in terms of how like dynamic he was and how quick he was in his net, and you know, and again, I think probably Rio was more technically sound, but he was more about being in the right places at the right time. The athleticism in, you know, for backs was crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, it just goes to show, like, the guy played in the Swedish Elite League, you know, from the EIHL, which is crazy. A lot of people worried about when I signed him, and I think I did a lot of research on him and watched a lot of game film on him and spoke to him like two or three times before we agreed to sign him. It was a risk, but we got him at a price that was worth the risk. And you know, no one will tell you this, but we did renegotiate his deal after the first 10 games when he was smashing the stats sheet. So we had to give him more money.
just in case that big team came and in for the deadline and went, yeah, come to us. No,
that big team did come in. So that's a little insight.
Yeah.
I was hitting myself that he was going to leave in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Money well spent. I'll say that. Definitely.
No, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, your last season with the Stars came in probably on a bit of a downer, I would say. It wasn't the best of season. We ended up finishing last place. And probably a team that on paper, and you'll probably agree with us, on paper probably shouldn't have. You know, we had some big names in there. Chris Blight, Shane Lust, Brad Plumpton, just for a few. We had Mark Chevry in the goal as well. It probably should have been a team that competed. What do you think went wrong that year? What was the factors behind it?
Probably a combination of a few things. I think, you know, we lost a few players at key times. I can't even remember that. Is the disappointing part about, you know, seasons like that? You just want to put them out of your mind, and sometimes you just forget about all the players that are on the team. Yep. The way that I would sum it up is that we definitely didn't have a team that should have finished last place. You know, we should have made the playoffs. I think some guys had some individual stuff going on that you know affected their game and affected where they wanted to be in you know, whether it was, you know, if you take Mitch, who we brought right from the American Hockey League. I think he arrived here and from day one, he thought he made a mistake. And I think he never wanted to be here in the first place, which is disappointing because no matter how well he's playing or how well the team's doing, he if his head's not here, then it's hard to convince someone. That they shouldn't be here. And the problem that we faced, I think, a lot was when players left, we couldn't replace them fast enough. You know, the players weren't available or whatever the situation is, that we just couldn't replace them. And then ultimately what happens is you start losing more and more games and guys' heads go down and it just becomes, acceptable. And it's hard to pull it back once it's gone, and that I think that's the way that season went. And, I don't want to put the blame on anyone. The blame is on me. I didn't do a good enough job. Like I said, when those seasons happen, you just want to forget them and move on. And they're unfortunate, but it's just bad timing sometimes.
That was your time come to an end after that season with the Stars. And then you also had, and what we always still find to this day, a very strange move in going to China to coach. How did that happen?
Well, I mean, you can imagine that after the season that we had, my last season in Dundee, like I had another year on my contract, which was bought out. And for me, obviously, that ended kind of my thought about playing. I don't know. I think that kind of the culmination of everything. My son was born that year. I just didn't really want to play anymore. So I never pursued anything. And then a friend of mine is an agent. He said, I've got this call. I said, I don't know if you'd be interested. He said, the hockey's not going to be great, but it's going to be a great experience and the money's going to be fantastic. And it was. So they said, but it's in China. And it's like, but you're in Japan, you can go to Korea and stuff like that. So it's going to be a great experience. And it was. It was a 5-month contract, and the season was 5 months. It was really good in terms of the fact that you just go over to China or sorry, over to Japan for 3 weeks, play all the teams in Japan, then come home for 2 weeks, then go over to Russia. So it was good in that aspect. We didn't win a lot of games, but it was never expected to win a lot of games. I did a lot of the hockey schools, and it did prepare me to come back to be a full-time bench coach when I did. So, it was a great experience.
Yeah. Just, it was always just one of those ones where when it's announced, Jeff Hutchins is away to China, and you're all like, China?
Yeah.
It's just a very...
Cue the jokes, yeah.
a complete different route. But yeah, so obviously coming back, you did go to the dark side across the water with the Flyers as assistant coach and director of player development. And as I said, and obviously I mentioned it to you before the show, you tried to kind of, there was always that disconnect between Fife and the fans for a good few years. And we saw you quite actively on social media interacting with the fans, obviously having kind of like the Q&A nights and stuff like that as well. How difficult was it in Fife for yourself?
I think the early years, I think it was easier. I think, what I would say is I think Fife probably, in terms of the first few years they were in the league, I thought like their fan bases were like fantastic in terms of, they always had a packed house. They had Nickerson. They had people that going bananas. The rink was really intimidating. So even when the big teams came in, it wasn't a comfortable position for them to be in. And we knew that if we started well for the most part, and got a lead, that we could carry it through. But I think, after we won the Gardner Conference there, I think it became really hard to retain players and we had one bad season after that, and I think they've recovered from the bad season, because he had a bad season, then he had COVID, and then when we came back from COVID, we recruited that team in 7 weeks, like less than 7 weeks, just because the league was like, oh, by the way, we're playing. So they've had it, they had a great year last year in terms of the fact that they, got themselves back in the playoffs, but it just seems like, they've gone backwards again this year. It's hard being a team at the bottom of the table without the money and the resources to kind of dig your way out of it. Even Dundee's had some good success over the years, but it's always in the bottom half of the standings, and it's just hard.
Good. You notice that when the likes of Stars and the Flyers are struggling, and you've said it yourself, Jeff, that as a coach you may want to change things, but you've just not got the budget to do it. And then you look at the likes of Belfast, if things aren't going right, they'll just go and bring more players in. And it's not just sort of low-level players. It are players that have got 150, 200 AHL games that they suddenly bring in. And that must be very frustrating when you're the coach of the Stars or the Flyers, and you're like, oh, I wish I can get somebody in. I'm hoping to get somebody in. And you just see the arena teams just going splashing the cash without a care in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I do, like, as soon as you see the financials behind bringing a player in, then you understand. And it's hard sometimes to justify it. And it's like, from an owner's perspective, it's like, okay, we're sitting in ninth place or in 10th place. Is this one player going to move the dial that much? And then they put in front of you how much that transaction costs. And then you start to realize. It is frustration. But, when you see other teams like the Belfast and Nottingham, but at the end of the day, they make more money, right? So they can make more moves. It's all down to finances in one aspect or the other. But, certainly it's a tough position to be on the front lines with the players as the coach. And against with the fans as the coach, it's a tough one.
But let's talk real hockey before we finish up. Dundee Rockets, currently sitting second through your first 10 games, an unbelievable comeback against the Kestrels the other night.
Yeah.
How are things going? How much are you enjoying kind of coaching, the Rockets and the guys in that team?
So I was out of coaching. So my last year in Fife, I just decided that I didn't want to coach anymore. I want to focus on business, focus on family and stuff like that. Took a year off. And then I got a call from Rab Brown and Stu Barnett saying, do you want to meet up? And I was like, I spoke to Rab a couple times during my time with the Stars, but nothing really serious. And I said, sure, we met for coffee. And he said, we've got this idea. We want to bring both teams together. Would you coach it? And I was like, well, if it was one or the other, I probably wouldn't have, because I just think that, there wouldn't be enough practice time So I think it was very intriguing. And it was at the beginning of the summer, and it kind of took almost the entire summer to get it together. And I just was really excited. It's all amateur players. There's, no one's getting paid, and you're there for the love of the game, and they all have pride, and they want to, they want to win every day. And believe it or not, like, for an amateur club, like, we try to keep a high standard, and we try to, make sure that we run it as professional as we can. And guys don't want to miss training sessions because they generally want to be around each other, and they want to be in the lineup. And, it's been a pleasure, to be fair, for the first, 6-7 weeks or whatever we've gone through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously,
Sorry, Junior. It must be good coaching young guys like John Dolan.
he's still a grumpy old sod.
Do you still need a translator for him, Jeff?
No, I never did. For some reason, we played together a lot, so I kind of got an idea of what he was saying. But it was funny because when I've been in Fife for so long and their accent, and then you come back to Dundee and you start hearing the the Fae and all that, and Fae and all that stuff.
Quan, Fev and Fez.
Obviously, I'm obviously good friends with Cam. So obviously when we were talking about it and stuff, and he's saying that, you know, we're doing stuff after the games and all that with people, and we've got our meals and stuff like that. It just goes to show how serious, you know, and we say it, and it's no disrespect to the years gone by, but in the SNL, it was just, you turned up, you played your game, you went home. The standard that the Rockets are now putting in across the board is making it that bit kind of more professional. And as you say, people want to be there. They want to be at their training sessions. They want to win games because of the love of the sport, pretty much. So when you're going up against teams like the Caps, the Kestrels, and the Lynx, you know, having that kind of professionalism all behind it is kind of building for that success on the ice, which is absolutely great to hear in Dundee SNL hockey.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, you know, the hope is that we can provide that kind of market for fans that, you know, maybe can't afford an elite league ticket.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the reasons and around their price and their cost structure, but
yeah,
you know, can we provide some value at a lower end price point? You know, I think that's what they're aiming for. And the Tigers, you know, in the past generally had a good following, you know, more than the Comets in terms of, you know, their social media presence. And so that's kind of just now the best bits of the Tigers and the best bits of the Comets has come together to kind of, yeah, I think we're, you know, again, because they put it together so quickly during the summer, you know, year two is, you know, and being prepared for a full season is, you know, is the sky's the limit for them.
Yeah. Finally, what's your goals for this season with them?
Treble for me is on the table. And I say that honestly. I think, like, I've seen all the teams now. I think, you know, in terms of depth across the entire squad, I just don't think there's another team in the league that's better than us in that aspect. Yes, on some nights, like the other night, there will be teams that just, you know, get the bounces or whatever it may be. But, you know, if I was to say, you know, who's the most complete team, I would say it's us. And I'm not, and it's not just because I'm the coach. It's just that's just evaluating and being around hockey a lot and knowing what our guys can do. That's how I feel.
Yeah. No, definitely. Well, Jeff, again, thank you so much for your time and coming on the show. We really do appreciate it. We also, on behalf of the Stars fans, we do appreciate all the hard work that you did put in over the years and helping us win that sole trophy and finishing in third place, our highest ever finish. Hopefully we can replicate it one day or go one better. But yeah, again, thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys. Good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Cheers.
So again, just want to thank Jeff for coming on the show there. You know, a lot, we said it earlier, Senior, people do forget about that conference winning year and finishing third place.
And come on, Junior, it could be that a lot of the guys, and girls, but you know what I mean, a lot of the fans that go to the games now, maybe didn't go back then. You know, there is a banner up there for them, and that's he coached that team. There's three banners there, and there's one for the Elite League. But you're right, it's not discussed enough. It's not celebrated enough.
No.
You know?
No. 10 years this year.
Yeah, we didn't. You know, the Elite League went and the conferences, what, for 3 years or something?
Yeah.
Something like that, 3-4 years.
4 year, I think. And Clan had two, we had one, and Fife had one.
Clan had two,
possibly more, possibly three. And one.
And it wasn't the league decided on conferences, right? So regardless of who was in your conference, you had to win it. And if you won it, you got recognised for winning it. And that's what happened. But I just think a lot of people, and maybe not aware of it because they're newer to the games. but I think it should be someone that celebrated. But for me, what I like listening to Jeff about was the recruitment side of things, because he's right. When you're near the sort of the bottom end, right, and I would maybe say even 7, 8, 9 and 10, that if players look at that and they're thinking, they could be a bottom end, I didn't really want to do that. But then as a coach, you think, this guy's come become available, he might get us up a couple of slots, might get us up to 5th or 6th, and that's a big thing if we were to go 5th and 6th in the Elite League. But when you put the money on the table and you begin to work everything out, you're then like, is it really worth it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a business. Yeah. And what I liked about Jeff was he was honest about that. He didn't sugarcoat it. He says that's the name of the game. And he obviously found that out of Fife as well, that it's a business to somebody else. And you get Sheffield, when they play Nottingham, get someone like 7,500, 9,000 people at a game. Right?
Yeah.
United played St Mirren at the weekend there, and it looked really, really busy. There was only about 8,500 at the game.
Yeah.
Sheffield and Nottingham get that in an arena.
Yeah.
So, no, but great to hear from Jeff. It's been a while, as he says, but
listen, after, you know, there's only two other coaches in Stars history that have won trophies: Tony Hand, Roger Hunt, Jeff Hutchins.
And Jeff Hutchins. Elite.
Yeah. Anyway, Senior, it is episode 100. We are celebrating this week. And to celebrate, I'm going to have to get them ready. I'm going to have to get the wee Italians out. Don Michele, our title sponsors, have absolutely nailed it for episode 100. They have offered a £100 voucher for one lucky listener/viewer. So, this is what you've got to do. We're going to put a post up later in the week. We'll give it a few days. We'll go to after the games because everyone's going to be busy at the hockey and stuff. Like the post. Comment on the post your favourite Don Michele dish. Okay, so then I just be putting up pizza. We want to know what your favourite pizza is at Don Michele. Might be lasagna. Might be a different type of pasta dish. Might even be their amazing tiramisu dessert. Oh, tiramisu is amazing there, by the way, Senior. So, share the post and tag Don Michele in it, okay? If you didn't tag them in it, you're no winning. Simple as that. All right. We'll put all the instructions up on the Facebook page in order to win the voucher. But £100.
£100, Junior.
Episode 100.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
He's a real legend, is he? He's a real legend. Oh. Yes.
Him and his business partner. Can't forget about his business partner, Senior.
I could forget about him, like, and Billy Big Boots for last weekend. Yeah, I could forget about him.
So £100 voucher. But also on the back of that, we do have a couple of little extra runners-up prizes. So obviously the big prize, and again, a massive thank you to Don Michele, our title sponsors, for doing this for us, a £100 voucher. Couple of runners-up prizes, though, because it is episode 100. It's not just all about one prize. We've got another four runner-up prizes. We have available two A View from Section C mugs and two T-shirts from our other sponsor, which is Liam Mean Tattooist. Love it. Love it.
So that, even Liam getting in touch yesterday saying, look, it's your 100th episode. I've got, I'll if you want to hear wee competition, I'll throw in a couple of the t-shirts. And they are ice hockey related t-shirts, by the way, like before people yeah. are thinking, oh, it's only t-shirts. They are ice hockey related t-shirts. I know that Liam has done some work for the Stars, with some drawings and that, for sort of some merchandise. So yeah, I think Junior, when you put the post out, you can always put up the wee photo that I sent you.
Liam's t-shirt. I couldn't get it on this. Could see. There was an issue with the file.
But yeah, £100 for Don Michaela, two Liam Mean tattoo t-shirts, and a couple of Section C mugs. And that's Norse, by the way, before anybody says anything. A couple of you from Section C mugs.
Nobody would say that. We don't want people to go away empty-handed. It's 100 episodes, so we're really throwing it out there. But again, the main prize, obviously, and this is a competition purely for Don McKayley, putting in that £100 voucher. We just thought we'd throw in a couple of extra things as runner-up prizes. But obviously, Don McKayley is our title sponsor. They've been absolutely fantastic over the last, what's that, 3 years now?
I think so.
2021. So 3 years like that the guys have been the title sponsors of the show. And it's only fair that we also put this back out as well to thank them for it, that we give them as much publicity as possible. And that's why you need to tag them in all your posts. So, hey,
correct.
Marketing, think about it. So, we'll put the post up in a couple of days, and then we'll close it just after. Then we'll also do a live draw on the name generator again, so that we know it's no fixed and it's a live draw for you. But the main part of the competition, though, is a side competition, which is if anybody could figure out what Liz and Ashley Davidson are saying at the hockey, then you can also win a voucher of your choice for anywhere, and I'll pay for it with my own money. Fit
100 episodes. Fit.
We will move on to the MBE Valeting Services sponsor two-way watch. So we've already kind of spoke about that a little bit, and it was a bad result for the Kestrels and Josh at the weekend. Did they go 5-1 up? 5-2 up?
3-0. 4-1, I think.
5-2.
Something like that.
Or so 4-1. The Kestrels took 5 in overtime to the Rockets. Josh had an assist on the second goal, thanks to my spy in the crowd. But looking at Josh's point production so far, senior, this is what it is. In the 12 games he's played, 5 goals, 8 assists, 13 points. Again, not bad.
Decent for a stay-at-home D-man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Aberdeen Lynx were back in action this weekend, away to the famous Paisley Pirates, and they won by 2-0. And it was a shutout for our man, Dom Jagler, going back into the roster after his wee trip away to Florida when he was on Barstool, was it, that had him, swapping his jersey over and stuff. So, Dom was back in goal this weekend with a 2-0 win. Some stats for Dom for the season. 11 games played, 326 shots faced, 306 saves. So 20 goals conceded in those 11 games. Save percentage of 0.939 and a goals against average of 2.04, including 2 shutouts.
Yeah, listen, we've said it about Netminders in whatever league the Stars have played in, right? But a netminder that's coming in at 0.939, did you say? That's championship winning stats for a netminder, eh?
It doesn't matter what level you think they've got. It's only the SNL, right? There's 4 top teams in that SNL. Aberdeen, obviously, one of them. There's another 3 top teams that they play against numerous times throughout the season. And, you know, you play against your Kilmarnocks, your North Air, even Paisley will give you a good game. But your Kilmarnock, your North Airs, when they play you, you're maybe guaranteed the win. But you've still got to stop them from putting the puck in the net. They'll still get chances. So I have stats like that after 11 games, having played Kestrels, Rockets twice, Edinburgh. I think they lost to Edinburgh as well.
Yeah. You're only letting in two goals a game. That's giving your team a chance to win, eh?
Absolutely.
A big chance to win.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, good on them.
So looking at the SNL table, we've got an SNL league table, senior. The Aberdeen Lynx are top. Sorry, I should have actually mentioned that Gary Kelly is still out. Although he's now with Aberdeen, he's still out through injury, and they're hoping that he is back very, very soon. So Aberdeen top 12 games with 19 points. They're 9-2-1 of the season. The Rockets sitting in second with two games in hand, 8-1-1. So 2 points behind with two games in hand, which is already a massive part for them. Edinburgh in third through their 10 games. So they've also got two games in hand on Aberdeen, sitting on 15 points. And the Kestrels, where Josh Saunders is at, 11 games, 13 points. They're 6-4-1.
Yeah. It's looking good for Coach Hutchins at the moment.
Isaac, could be another trophy coming back to Dundee for Coach Hutchins.
Well, he's expecting three.
Yeah, he's expecting three. Yeah. So, 51 Club sponsored game reviews. So, we were at home to the Belfast Giants on Saturday night. Jeff Baum got the Giants off to a quick start after 2:55. Cole McDonald had a farm, equalised on the power play at 22:08, assisted by the boss, Brett Gravel, and Ben O'Connor. Senior, your boy, JJ Pickenich, back in with the goals, 28-10, putting Belfast 2-1 up. Brendan Harms, right at the end of a power play, it was a second later at 31:41, assisted by Dow and Alberga, made it 2-2. Elijah Barriga, I believe, with his first goal in Dundee since leaving at 38:22 on the power play. Barriga then got his second at 43:42. And then Bobo Carpenter at 47:41, giving Giants a 5-2 victory. Senior, what was your thoughts?
Disappointed. I actually thought we played really, really well the first two periods. I thought we were doing a lot of things right. I thought we really frustrated them. And I liked the way we came back. We went 1-0 down, we equalised. Went 2-1 down, we equalised. And we were always in amongst it. And then we ended up 5-1-3. And I think that's where the power play goal came from. And I'm going to be honest with you, right? The officials, I thought, were poor. It's probably the worst I've seen officials in Dundee for a long time, right? As a collective, right? You've always said, fucking Toby had a shite game or Pavel had a shite game or something like that. But the four of them, I thought, were absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anybody's watched it. The Harms penalty is a penalty. It's 2 minutes for slashing, right, when it happened. But prior to that, there's an interference call, right, that doesn't get done. And it's that blatant, then Brendan swings his stick, and then the hand goes up. And then the game continues, nothing seems to happen, and then the next minute he's putting Cole McDonald off at the same time. And you're thinking, what the fuck's going on here? And then he calls 2 minutes for kneeing. I didn't see anybody going down. I didn't see anybody getting hurt.
I saw somebody go down. I just thought
it was contact, if anything.
I thought it was accidental contact on McDonald's hip, and the guy kind of went over his hip. His thigh hit it, or his knee hit it. But
normally
Paul McDonald's not going to hit anyone.
No,
he's not a physical player.
He's not that type of player. right? But see, when that normally happens, that second penalty as such doesn't get called. It's let go, right?
Yeah.
If that's the opposite way around,
Stars
are going 5-1-4. They're not going 5-1-3, guaranteed. Right? We only conceded the one, so we're going at 3-2, and you think, right, that's okay. But then I think we started making mental mistakes. I think players were tired, and it is tough, right, because of, one, who you're playing and you're short benched. And yeah. I would say the first two periods I put so much effort in that. I think tiredness creeped in. We made mistakes. The next thing, we've conceded, and then we've conceded again. And after that, I think, being honest with you, if I'm going to be honest, I think that Belfast probably deserved to win it just because of the amount of shots that they had. And the amount of possession, and just the way they played. I didn't think it was a 5-2 game. I thought it was closer than that. If we'd have come out there losing 3-2, 4-3 or something, then you would understand it. But you know what? I was disappointed just because I thought we'd played really, really well the first couple of periods. And we lost our way a bit in the third. And at that point, Belfast just took over, and that was it. Big Jarrett kept winning again, first two periods at times.
Yeah, so obviously there was no Kyle Pouncey, there was no Jake Elmer, there was no Cameron Kylie, no Brogan O'Brien, and no Alex Tonge. However, there was the debut of Alex Robert, as Andy announced him. I'm unsure if it's Robert. I think it could be... He's from Ontario, but
is he?
Yeah, he's from Gloucester, Ontario. But in saying that, Ottawa and Montreal and all that kind of area.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's more towards the Toronto side or if it's more towards the Ottawa side.
Right. So if he's towards Toronto, it'll be a Robert. If he's towards the other side, it'll be a Robert.
Aye. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. But yeah, I thought he was all right. He wasn't absolutely fantastic, but I thought he was quick. He put in a shift. He tried in the boards. Yeah. He put in a couple of hits. He was grinding at the dirt area. So I was pleased with his performance.
So was I. As Mark says, he turned up at 11 o'clock on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Had a training session on Friday and played. What it took for Mark. Mark said he got in touch with him at 2 o'clock on Thursday. He was in Dundee at 11 o'clock at night, and he trained on Friday. So that tells me the boy wanted to play. Yeah. So, yeah. I thought he was rapid. I thought he was very fast at times, skating. But it was okay. It was an okay debut for him.
Yeah. Man of the match, senior?
It wasn't Cole's best game, was it?
That's 2 weeks in a 2 weeks. He said, "Man of the match."
-3 and got man.
Plus, again, listen, plus minus. No. I've seen it on the sports page. No. It's a shit stat. I'm not hating it, but again, I thought he was poor.
I'd say Jarrett.
Yeah, I was going with Jarrett as well, to be fair.
I would go Jarrett. The first period. Eh?
43 saves.
Say that again? Yeah.
I know he lost. I know he conceded 5, but there's only one of the goals I think he will want back, which was the first one.
Yes, I would agree with that. It was a soft one. I think he would probably admit that himself. It was a soft one. I think we all said it when I went and thought, oh, he's wanting that in back. But then, you know what? He redeemed his celly the rest of that first period and through the second period. And as a team, the game got away from us. And he was sort of hung out to dry a wee bit, I think, in the third period. But overall, I thought he was fantastic. So, man of the match for me.
Yeah. We then went into Nottingham on the Sunday afternoon, evening. earlier face-off in Nottingham. Sam Herr, again, just after 2 minutes, 2 minutes and 8 seconds, put Nottingham 1-0 up. Stars equalised through Johnny McBean, assisted by Robert, depending on which part of Ontario he's from, and Dominic Alberga, 5:05 on the power play, and it was a snipe and a half. Dryden Dow, Captain Fantastic, put the Stars 2-1 up at 26:37, again assisted by Chris Ingalls and Dominic Alberga. Sam Herr got his second on the power play at 38:43. And then Hugo Wah at 50:38 gave Nottingham a 3-2 victory. First thing I want to give a wee shout out to is Mr. Ingalls. We did speak about Chris at the start of the season when we were doing our roster lineup and stuff, introducing the team. And we said that Chris hopefully can maybe put a few more points up this season, a wee bit more than what he had last year. Blah, blah, blah. He's already done that after 16 games. He's now on five assists for the season. His EIHL highest, his highest point tally in a season was in 2018-2019 when he had 7 assists. Elite prospects have him projected to have 17 this year. So, Chris, if we didn't hit 17, we'll be hitting words with you.
And
we miss his last.
Expect a goal.
We're going for a goal now. I'm just happy with assists, but if we're going for a goal now, fucking hell.
No, I'm wanting a goal. I'm wanting a goal. And I want him to celebrate with a Lockie Fleet sign or something.
Stick in the air like that.
Just like that. That'd be it. That'd be fantastic if he'd done that. Actually, it'd be quite funny if any... It would be quite funny if any of the Dundee boys done that the next time they scored there.
Just what was that? What was Ardler for JD for the Rockets?
Ah, can't mind. Ardler, but, Ardler here, gang.
I was going to say something there, but we might hear listeners for Ardler, so I'm not going to say anything. But hi, Chris. We know Chris listens in. Chris, have you went? Could you listen this week? Probably on the on the bike or whatever. Lars will watch you get a goal, and he wants to get a Lockie Fleet sign
and a Lockie Fleet sign.
There we go.
Outstanding.
There we go. But a 3-2 loss. And what you had and down you know a 2-point weekend.
Yeah, but come what?
And I had 3.
Yeah. I think I had about having 2, but I'll be honest with you, I was pleasantly surprised at the reports that were coming out of Nottingham.
Yeah.
And I think what, again, short benched because then Zach Sekos goes out injured and he's no playing. Massive loss, in my opinion. Yeah. And then you get in penalty trouble. And when you're short benched, you can't afford to be in penalty trouble.
I didn't want to bring it up again, but I seen the lassie Holly, I can't mind her surname now. But she ref that game in Sheffield where we got beat 6-1. And she was one of the officials came with a high stick that was near a high stick, but it was clearly a fucking high stick. She was with the boy with the moustache. Good. Is it good?
Yeah, David, good.
She was terrible in that game. And I had Sheffield fans messaging me as well, and obviously Neil was one of them, saying that both sides of the ice, she was absolutely abysmal. Like, abysmal. Mm. And then reports again for Sunday was both officials were abysmal again. And it's that we, you know, Saturday, 2 hard working periods. Go to Nottingham, 3 hard working periods against 2. Okay, Nottingham probably aren't a top side like they used to be, but they're still a they're a good solid side and they're climbing up the table. We're working hard, we're short benched. And then we're shafted in 2 games by terrible calls. Terrible calls.
The thing is, if players put themselves in those positions, right, then things will get called. No, well, I'm sorry, Junior. Well, I need to be the voice of reason in here.
Could this be the first ever episode? The retaliation we harms you.
And you know what? I felt his frustration at the time. But Harmsy, this is Harmsy's second season in here now. He really should know what these referees are like when he's playing in Dundee. Brown, Halas, guys like that. It's just...
See, the funny thing is Brown...
That's what they thrive on.
I don't think Brown was that bad on Saturday. I just didn't think he wanted to call anything. It was just like he wanted to get
a goal.
That's
maybe a better way.
And then he did call a couple of things, and you're like, but you let it go earlier. It's a penalty, but you let it go earlier. I didn't think he was actually that bad. For me, I actually quite like him. I thought Pavel was terrible. But the one on Sunday, that Holly, I can't mind her surname. We're going to get used to that. And I don't know who she was with. I didn't recognise the name. He was worse. But anyway, enough about the rest.
Kudos to the netminder, because seemingly he was outstanding on Sunday in Nottingham as well. So I think if we get players back sooner rather than later, and the netminders are starting to play the way that are recently, where they're in like 89%, 90%, 91%, 92% mm-hmm. save percentage, then we'll win more games than we'll lose. Yeah. And we've got the ability to do that. So it's still early in the season, let's be honest. Alarm bells are not ringing yet. There you go, 16 games. Yeah. What is it, a 54-game season? 38 games still to go. 50, we can still win the league.
52 or something. So 0-point weekend. So 0-point weekend. Flyers still bottom of the table after 15 games with 6 points. Manchester now dropping down into ninth. 14 games played, 8 points. The Glasgow Clan now into the playoff positions, 3 points behind us with the game in hand. They've got 10 through 15. We're in seventh, 13 points to 16. Nottingham, 16 through 15. Belfast and Sheffield both level, 18 points through 14 games. Guildford in third, 19 through 16. Coventry still in second, 21 through 14 games. And then the Cardiff Devils still at top, 28 points through 17 games. So.
Yeah, and Manchester sacked their coach.
And they did. I saw that today. They did.
Yeah. And non-Stars related news.
Yeah, it was surprising, but it wasn't surprising. I think the surprising thing though is Mike Moran. Go with any name. Mr. Moran is now taking over as temporary interim head coach with Finners helping him out.
Oh, can we play Manchester soon?
Let's just get Manchester up so we can shout abuse at Finnerty. We've missed Ryan.
Oh, we've missed Ryan.
But, unrelated Stars news. Anyway, moving on. It's time for seniors, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, so it's been quite difficult this week to get sort of like the good part of it as in an individual thing. So I'm actually giving it to the team because I think recently the all-round effort that's been going into games when we've been so short benched has been fantastic. You know, it wasn't so long ago, we were only speaking about Brogan O'Brien being out and then it was Kylie. And then it was somebody else, and then it was somebody else, and then it just keeps adding up and adding up. I think the all-round effort, I think the work rate's still there. I think the determination's still there to win games. We're still in games, So that's the good. The ugly is, we've touched on it now for the last couple of weeks, is the injuries. When you now add in Kyle Pouncey and Zach Setgos into that injury list. And it is quite funny and ironic that when we spoke to Jeff, you know, even us as fans on this podcast and everybody else, how have we no signed anybody? How have they no got anybody in? There's thousands of players out there. But if you listen to what Jeff says, there's reasons for not doing that. The club will not, and the coach will not just bring somebody in. Mark's probably said it as well. There's thousands of players out there. I'll go and sign fucking an hour, half a dozen players, but they can have your shite. And they'll cost more money. And it's when you put that into consideration, then should we really jump into just making signings? So the ugly is the injuries. And the bad, again, we've touched on it in this show. I didn't see the Nottingham game, so I'm not going to comment on the officiating down at Nottingham, but I thought the officiating in the Giants game was bad. Real bad. So that's it. That's my bad. The officials. That's it, Junior. Good, bad, and the ugly.
Did you switch your ugly and bad back to front then? Did you do good, ugly, and bad there?
Just done good, ugly, bad, because it's just the way I've looked at it.
I thought I was sitting there thinking, there's something not right about this.
Yeah, it's just the way I've typed it. It's just the way I've typed it.
I was sitting there thinking to myself, he's just said it was bad. It was bad. And I'm like, and he's like, and that's it. And I'm like, well, the fuck's your ugly then?
Yeah, the ugly's. So the good is the all round effort. The bad is the officiating, and the ugly is the injuries. How's that?
My OCD was going mental there. indeed. Let's look ahead then, senior, with the Liam Neen tattoo sponsored game preview. So Saturday we are away to the North Lanarkshire, South Lanarkshire, Pishy Wishy, Hamilton, Motherwell, Paisley, Govan, Glasgow Clan, Saturday night. Senior, Glasgow on a bit of a good run of form just now. Both challenge couple of league games. They have won 6 of their last 10 games. I think it's 3 of their last 5 as well. Beating the likes of Nottingham, Cardiff, Belfast. Couple of fights in there and us. But the boy, Seigo, however he says it, Stephen Seigo. Three plus 13 through 15 games for a D-man, 16 points. He's their top point scorer. But McClellan and Uli now starting to, or Uli, however he wants to say it, now starting to put up points. 6 plus 7 and 7 plus 5 through 15 and 12 games respectively. Tough game.
They're becoming strong at home, aren't they? And you know what? They've got an arena. They've got a big fan base. And when they start winning games, the fans, as much as I hate to say it, the fans do really get behind them. And they do make it for a good atmosphere. It'll be difficult. You know what? I'm not 100% sold on their goalie tandem. Tuna and the guy Landon Bow, or Bo, however he pronounces it. The guy Pelich has left them now. He's away. But
did you see where to?
They are. Sorry?
Did you see where he went to?
As he went to Hungary.
Went to the same team as Cody Saul, Dyson Stevenson, and Coach Morgan.
Says it all, does it? Says it all. But
obviously, it's the team with DeRoshi and McNulty as well.
They are on a decent run. They are a decent side. When you look at them on paper, they are a very, very decent side on paper. But you didn't win games on paper. You win it on the ice. But you know what? I think it'll depend on who we've got available. It'll depend on how the game goes. I think we'll not hear full squad, that's for sure. There's bound to be guys missing it. I would be surprised if everybody's back and the only guy that's missing is O'Brien, but we would need to leave an import out anyway. It's going to be tough. unfortunately, I don't think we'll win. I think we'll get beat.
Score prediction?
I'm going to go 4-2 Clan.
So I have gone 5-1. I think it's going to be one of those games. We have Sheffield at home on Sunday in the Territas. And again, I'm telling you now, Dowdy, you better not be on the bench because it's coming right for your fucking head.
You know what? It worries me. It absolutely worries me when with the Teddy toss against teams like Sheffield. That either within a score or, like what's happened previously with Sheffield, they always seem to score 5 in Dundee. And then we score 1. And then we'll launch the Teddies on when we're getting beat 5-1. It just doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't sit right with me against one of the bigger teams. However, that bigger team we beat the other week, and that bigger team got beaten 5.
Yeah.
That bigger team, I think, have lost about 4 on the bounce.
4 game losing streak.
So, there you go. And are they not in Glasgow on the Friday? I honestly can't remember.
Fill the gap.
Yeah. So we've got Glasgow on Saturday, Sheffield Sunday. Someone tells me Sheffield.
No, they're not. No. They're at home at Coventry on the Saturday.
Well, even better.
It's Manchester that's in Glasgow.
All right. Even better then, because it makes it a harder game that they've got Coventry.
Yeah. But so, the thing is, though, you know, you've still got guys, Balmas, who's 8+7. Usola, who's 6.9, and Patrick Watlin, 4+8. For me, that's going to be the 3 standout players in the game on Sunday.
So, what I noticed, there was the guy, is it Levens? Is that his name? The guy Levens that plays at Sheffield? I think it is. And fans are calling for him to get punted.
I'll take him.
Exactly. Listen, Junior, I'm telling you, see, at the start of the season, he was the guy that was banging the goals in and putting the points up, more than guys like Abalmas and Fahoran and these kind of guys. He's went after the boil. They've lost 4 in a row, and he's the guy that's getting it. But one thing I will say, they have relied on Greenfield too much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, they've brought this
new... And now they've been found out. They've got the Italian goalie, who was probably okay. Last year's backup was top-notch. This season, the Italian guy, no so good. Fans were saying that maybe Curtis Warburton should have played against us instead of the guy, Di Filippo, who was injured. Now they've brought in another guy, and he's shipping goals out of the place.
So the boy Di Filippo, the Sheffield fans didn't rate him either. They think he's piss. They played Warburton on Sunday in Fife. And one of the goals he conceded, I'm sure they did. Certainly looked like it was his name on the back of the jersey when they scored the winner.
It was the guy, the new guy, the Finnish guy that came in. I thought it was him at start of Junior, honestly.
Could have been. It just looked like it was his. I saw the H. I thought I saw the Warburton, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was just a long name. I thought it was his.
I don't know what a short name. I can't remember. Is it Hutamar or something like that? Or some Finnish name anyway.
No, you're right. It was Hutamar that played.
Yeah.
Just the length of the name. I thought it was Warburton. That goal he conceded on the power play at the end. Jesus Christ.
He's getting slated as well. Him. So I'll tell you, again, if we've got a couple of boys back, boys like Sekos, Elmar, guys that have got pace and ability, we've got every chance.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go for it, Junior.
Oh.
We're winning. And we're winning 3-2 on penalties.
3-2 Stars shootout.
And the winning
I've gone
penalty.
6-4 Sheffield with an empty netter.
The winning penalty will be scored by Yamamoto.
Yama. Fabulous. Okay.
Yeah.
Senior, to round off episode 100. Slimming World with Stella sponsored on this day. So on this day in 1988, and it's funny because you mentioned them to me earlier on before we came on the show. Marcus Zembergs was born on this day. What was the chance of you speaking about him? Only birthday, no sign-ins, no leavers. We had a number of games on this day. In 2016, we had an away league win at the afford numerous cities and towns mentioned Glasgow Clan by 6-4. Kevin Hart scored after 13 seconds. 2 goals from Justin Farina, Kale Tanaka, and 2 goals by Vinny Scarsella, giving Stars a 6-4 win on that day.
Near enough the Hall of Fame team.
Yeah. In 2017, we had an away league loss at the Cardiff Devils by 3-2. Goals from Brian Hart and Joey Done Something Silly. I mean, sorry, Joey Deacon Sillies. 2022, we had a home league loss versus the Nottingham Panthers. It was 5-4 in overtime. Ben Soke, Roman Semyonovs, Philippe Sonch, and Elijah Barriga were the goal scorers for the Stars. That game was also the game that Fabrizio Ricci scored in after he left to go to Nottingham and got some abuse for it.
Dick. Yes.
And our final game on this day was a wee bit of retribution. A year later, in 2023, it was an away league win at the Nottingham Panthers by 4-3 after a shootout. Spencer Nass, Carter Johnson, Jake Elmer, and the shootout winner by Mr. Harms.
Outstanding.
And that is on this day, and that senior is the start of 3-figure episodes.
Yeah, I know. And I've got a wee shout out, Junior.
Yep.
I've got a wee shout out to my good work, mate. Wee Derek Lawrence, wee Deke 60 the day.
I thought it was gonna be me.
Yeah. It's his big 6-0. So we hit the big 100. Derek hits the big 60. He was wagging his bus pass, he was telling me before he started on his back shift. So yeah, I know Derek, somebody's listening in. So if you're listening, mate, happy birthday, Deke.
Yeah, there you go. Right, folks, that's it for episode 100. Big thank you to everyone that still listens in, that still watches on YouTube, that still interacts with it on all the social media channels, shares it, that speaks to their friends about it, come speak to us about it. You know, without you guys, we don't then go on the 3-on-3 podcast that we're on at the weekend, which came out today as well, I think. Did it?
I was either yesterday or today.
Yesterday. Yeah, today. So again, theirs came out as well. You could go and listen to me and Senior talk some pish on that one. God, 2 shows this week. We're talking us talking pish.
Yeah.
But no, a big thank you to all you guys. Big thank you to Jeff Hutchins for tonight. Also a big thank you to all of our guests that have been on since the very first episode. Thank you to all of our voiceovers and inductees for the show. Thank you to our sponsors, the 51 Club, Gloves Off, Slimming World with Stella, MBE Valeting Services, Liam Mean Tattoo. A shout out for one of our previous sponsors as well, and Craig Niche Decorators. And also our biggest shout out is also to our title sponsor in Don Michele, Italian restaurant on the Perth Road. If you're looking for some place to eat this week, go down and also enter the competition we're going to put out in a couple of days. But listen, folks, thanks again to everyone that makes this possible. Thank you for listening this week. Thank you for joining us for episode 100. And we will see you all at the rink on Sunday. Don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up.